the powers of darkness cannot drown out a single word. I believe that that can speak to us about the church and the power and the anointing and the influence that the church has if it will exercise its influence. I believe that the vast majority of people, let's just say on Prince Edward Island, because we could talk about other places, but we live in Prince Edward Island. But I believe the vast majority of people in Prince Edward Island would like to shift some things and change some things on our island, not only from a material, natural perspective, but from a moral perspective. I believe there's a majority of people in Prince Edward Island that would do that. But the sad part about that, for the most part, that majority is silent. And the silent majority is usually irrelevant. In other words, the silent majority who will never speak out, doesn't matter what they believe, they're irrelevant because they don't really have any influence. But I believe if the church will begin to speak up, will begin to declare the way God sees things and begin to voice that the enemy will not be able to drown out a single word because of the power and anointing that's upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we enter into 2017, I hope you're getting stirred up in your spirit and saying, in 2017, I'm going to have a voice. In 2017, I'm going to speak up. In 2017, I'm not going to be afraid of that which would try to shut me down, because I know that the one that lives on the inside of me is greater than he that is in the world. And so we need to take a stand, I believe, and if we do, we'll shift things. There'll be things that will change. There'll be a voice go out that the enemy cannot silence. But if we keep silent, then it's not going to mean anything at all. We'll be irrelevant. There's nothing worse than being irrelevant. That's one of the things that I think the devil hates the most, is when you ignore him. When he thinks that he's really got things going, he hates to be ignored. He'll do anything for you to pay attention to him. Even if you feel that you constantly got to stay, devil, I rebuke you. You know, I come against you. And if you constantly got to be in that mode, that's better for him than if he's totally ignored. Because when you ignore him, we know that we can sit him, you're not relevant. You have no relevance. You don't even matter. You know, I'm not even going to consider you in this situation because I've already got the victory in Jesus' name. I could just continue to talk here this morning and talk to you about the Word of God, in which the Word of God is very powerful, and we don't want to ignore that in any way, shape, or form. And I could talk to you about some things, that spiritual things that we could take ambiguous meanings from, but I want us to talk about some things that we can relate to, some things that we hear about on a daily basis, some things that we've gone through, some things that might be relevant in our lives. Just as we were worshiping and we were singing that song, I felt the Lord just give me a picture of when it talks about the enemy, the powers of darkness cannot drown out a single word. I just got a picture of the church speaking up, the church having a voice in the midst of what seemingly is an impossible situation. When the election was going on, when the whole campaign was going on, there was one thing that really got Trump into the presidency. There's only one thing that happened that didn't happen in previous elections. And I believe it's because he made a statement about abortion. He declared that he was pro-life. And he declared that he would put judges in that would be pro-life. Now, we have yet to see whether he's going to live up to everything he declared, but at least he declared it. The other candidate, well, she was just the opposite. But the church came out and voted in that election, where in masses, like they never did before. They just basically said, we had enough of what was happening in the past. And with all the media coverage, with all the media saying Trump couldn't possibly win, with all the polls saying he couldn't win, the enemy, the powers of darkness, couldn't silence the word, the voice that when the church spoke, the enemy couldn't silence it. And look what happened. So I believe as a church, as we begin to speak up, as we begin to voice our opinion, begin to voice what we believe, even in the face of persecution, then I believe that that voice will go out and be heard, and it'll make a difference. We'll no longer be an irrelevant majority. We'll no longer be an irrelevant church, but we'll actually have influence. And I believe that we're here today to hopefully get encouraged to be able to stand in the gap for the Lord, to be able to speak out His plans, His purposes, His standards in this world, rather than being rolled over by the forces of darkness that seem to prevail over the world today, and even in our communities. I want us to think about, as we come together this morning, we come together to worship, but more than to worship, we come to be able to be equipped to go out and do the work of the Lord. And you might say, well, Pastor Bill, how are we going to do that? What are we going to learn? Well, one of the things that we're going to get, if we will open our hearts to it, is the corporate anointing as it rests upon us. The corporate anointing will come upon us and help us to be able to speak things out into the world. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me. Now, if Jesus had to be anointed, how much more you and I? God anointed Jesus. Jesus was coming to earth as a man, and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. There are people who are held in captivity, and the anointing is available for you and I to get on us, to rub on us, so that we can go out and rub shoulders with the world and get that anointing upon them. And when we begin to speak under the anointing of God, glory to God, I'm telling you, something's going to happen, something's going to change. There's going to be a difference take place in the hearers of what you have to say, but it'll also, something will happen on the inside of you where there'll be a fire coming on the inside of you that you'll not be able to contain, and you'll be able to speak things that you've never spoken before. Glory to God. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little excited this morning about what I believe God desires to do in 2017. He's got a plan. Praise God. Now, one of the things, we've said this before, but some of the things that we have to get into our hearts is that if we're going to be influencers, if we're going to see society change, there's some things that we must understand. And we mentioned these before. I'm going to mention some again. The first thing that we have to understand is that things are not always the way they seem. Things are not the way they seem. Things are not as you see them many times. One of the greatest examples is that we live in this wonderful, prosperous nation of Canada. This nation of Canada is one of the best places in the world to live. We live in it, and it's wonderful. It's a place where we can expect to have prosperity. That's what it looks like on the outside. And I thank God we're experiencing many times. But let's take a closer look now, even at the economics or the financial situation of the nation of Canada. The combined, and this is on the other side, combined federal and provincial net debt has increased from $834 billion in 2007, listen to this, to a projected $1.3 billion in 2016. Now that's that's combined debt. That's the same as every man, woman, and child in the nation of Canada owes $35,000. That's every man, woman, and child in the nation. So in that aspect, you can see that things are not always the way they seem. You see, we see ourselves as a very prosperous nation, one of the most prosperous nations on the planet. But yet, when we look, we see that things are not always the way they seem. Now let me tell you something else. If you pay attention to that, things are not always as bad as they seem either. They're not always as bad as they seem. And one of the reasons why I say things are not always as bad as they seem is because we have someone living on the inside of us that does things a different way. You see, the world gets us into this kind of debt, thinking that we deserve everything, we're entitled to everything, and we just flow into this debt. But the one on the inside of us says, I know a way to do things differently. Things are never as bad as they seem. Although there's sometimes things are not as good as they seem, things are not as bad as they seem either. And the good news is that we, as a church body, can make a difference. I believe that with all of my heart. Things are not always as bad as it seems. The second thing that we need to know is that we are at war. We are at war. And you might say, well, Pastor, I've been living in peace. I've never known war. Yes, you may never have known war, but there's a war going on all around you. There's a war happening all around you. In the spiritual realm, there are things happening that we don't always see with our eyes. But there is a war, and the sooner we realize that we are in a war, the better off we'll be. Because if you don't recognize that, then there are things that will take place. You'll wonder what happened. What's going on here if you don't realize in your war? But if you realize you're in a war, you'll have an understanding that there's an enemy arrayed against you that wants to put you down, take you out. As soon as you realize that, then you know that, okay, I need some material to be able to stand against the enemy. I need the greater one on the inside of me to rise up to be able to challenge this enemy that's arrayed against me. But if we don't realize we're in a war, we'll never get anywhere. Well, see, the part of the war is to go forth into our communities and shift things around, change things to, instead of people dishonoring the unborn child, for instance, we have to go forth and declare that God honors all life, that we are a people who cherishes the life that God brings into the world. So the second thing that we have to do is we must realize that we are in a war. And remember this, that the Apostle Paul, he told Timothy, he said, tell the people, let them know that anybody who earnestly desires to serve the Lord will be persecuted. Isn't that an encouraging word? Well, we got to know that. We can't think that just because we're born again, now everything's going to be all right. The Word of God plainly teaches us that if we are truly desirous to serve the Lord, not if and but, it is we will be persecuted. And I think a lot of times we don't have much of persecution because we keep quiet too much. We keep quiet too much. But we, as we speak out, we'll recognize that, yeah, we'll be persecuted all right. We're in a war all right. But yeah, God made us for this time. God made us for this season. God made us to answer some of the world issues that we're dealing with at this time. If not, He would have caused us to be born some other time. But He put something in you and I to address problems that are going on today. Do you realize that? There are some issues that are happening today that God has specifically designed you to address. He has put on the inside of you from the time you were conceived gifts and callings and purposes, that things for you to address that are not happening properly today. And if you don't address them, then they may just never go addressed. No, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. That gets me to the third thing that we must recognize, is that you have a crucial role to play. You have a responsibility in the transformation of your community. You have a responsibility to transform this community. You're not just another teammate to fill a vacant spot. You ever grow up when you were growing up and you were kind of, you're going to play a game, and so two captains came and one captain on this side, the other captain, you, a whole bunch, and I'll pick you. And, you know, to divide up the team evenly. Well, that's not the way it is when it comes to the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God, you are special. You have to be on the team. You're not here just to fill a spot. You have to be on a team because what you carry is vital. What you carry is so important. You have some uniqueness about you, that you are carrying a unique deposit that God has put upon you that needs to be administered to the world. Because God wants to express Himself through you in a very unique way. And if you will allow Him to move through you, you will find God moving through you and demonstrating through you some things that you never really knew you had on the inside of you. So we must recognize that things are not always the way they seem. We must also recognize that we are at war, and we must recognize that you are crucial. You play a crucial role in advancing the kingdom of God here on Prince Edward Island. You play a crucial role. And I thank God for that. I'm so thrilled that God is bringing about a team of people who are going to say, yes, Lord, whatever you put in me, I'm going to allow to come out. Amen? November 20th, we talked about the fact that you have a dream. Why do you have a dream? Because God put a dream on the inside of you. God put something really special on the inside of you. He wants it to be released. So dream big, think big. Just don't limit yourself to small dreams. November 27, we preached on dreaming big. And we said that you must have a God-sized dream if you're going to desire or if you are going to expect God to come in and help you fulfill that dream. You have to have a God-sized dream. Well, a God-sized dream is bigger than what you can pull off. But if you will set yourself in a position and say, Lord, I want to find out the dream that you put on the inside of me. And when I find out that dream that you put on the inside of me, I'm going to run. I'm not going to look at whether I can accomplish it or not. I'm going to march toward it. I'm going to move toward it so that you can be glorified and so that you will have something to anoint to bring it to pass. You see, in order to have a God-sized dream, we know that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And as long as we can hang on to that passion and run toward it, we can expect God to anoint it and run big. And today we want to talk about the passion for that dream. We want to talk about the passion for the God-sized dream that God put on the inside of us. And I'm going to show you a little example, a video of the idea of the passion that we need to run forth. This is a commercial about a guy being very passionate. Just run it there, please.
At the river mouth, the bears catch that man the passion, tastiest, passionate most about tender salmon.
Now, sometimes we underestimate the passion that we must have to fulfill the dream of God. We'll do it if it's easy. Whether we will admit it or not, that's often the attitude that we have. We'll do it if it doesn't cost us nothing. We'll do it if we don't have to fast and pray. We'll do it if we can, if it's easy, if I don't get hurt in the process. But no, to have a passion for the dream that God gives us means that we have to be willing to go on beyond our capabilities, that we're willing to push forward for something that we can get our hands on that's greater than what we can get our hands on all by ourselves. But God being God, He's willing to anoint our efforts in order to bring a dream to pass, the God-given dream on the inside of us to pass. But He wants us to have a passion for it. We must have a passion for it. So I want to talk about a few things this morning about how to maintain a passion for the God-given dream that's on the inside of us. And I'll tell you one thing, folks. You'll never gain a passion for something that is bigger than you by not being connected with others, not being involved in a team, not being coupled together with another group of people who are passionate about fulfilling their dream. It'll never happen. You won't do it on your own. It's not possible. You have to be willing to throw off everything that so easily besets us and join yourselves up with the people who are passionate about things in life, passionate about getting the dream of God that they have to pass, come to pass. Now, Hebrews 12:2 is a real good example of how we can keep a passion going, a passion for the dream that God has given us. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising His shame. And so Jesus seen something. He seen something that caused a lot of joy in His life. There was something that was set before Him that He fixed before Him because He seen the joy of having what He was going after, and what He was looking for was an inheritance in the saints of God. In other words, He was looking for the saints of God to make it to heaven so that He would have a people unto Himself. And because of that, He was joyful. He was thought about that. He had to many times put aside some of the things that He had to go through in order to accomplish the dream that God had given Him, the purpose that God had sent Him to earth for. And Jesus said He had come to do the will of the Father, the purpose of the Father. So He set aside earthly passions in order to gain His heavenly passion. Now, You may not realize this, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is Jesus' inheritance. Did you get that? The church, you and I, the saints of God, and if you're a believer, you're a saint of God. The Bible calls you a saint. The saints of God are the inheritance of the Lord. Do you think that you're that important? I hope, if you get this revelation, you'll understand that you're special. You're not just filling a spot. That you're special. You are God's inheritance. You are the inheritance of God in Christ. You are that special. And Jesus kept his focus. His eye was on the church of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. His eye was there. And while he kept his eye on that, his joy began to be fulfilled. For the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross. And if you will keep Jesus as a focus, you will keep the dream that he gives us as a focus, and as you keep that in front of you, you will find a joy rising up on the inside of you. And when you are actually involved in seeing transformation take place in people's lives, and even the community taking place, transformation taking place in the community, you start to see some of the things that you know that you had an influence in. There's nothing that will bring you greater joy. A joy will rise up on the inside of you when you begin to see some people being set free from the bondage that they've been in. A joy will rise up within you when you will see the schools being shifted and changed and teaching some things that involve morality. A joy will rise up in you when you begin to see the influence that you're having for the kingdom of heaven. And that'll cause you to run forward. That'll cause you to be able to stand up when somebody badmouths you and attacks you because you don't agree with them. You see, you have to have something on the inside of you that's stirring on the inside of you to be able to stand up against the attacks and the offense that's pushed, the opportunities that you have to take offense. There must be something on the inside of you as a shield against those things. And if you have the dream that God has for you standing up and you're the vision of your dream coming to pass, then that, when somebody says something to you where you could take offense, you'll just say, that my dream is too important to allow this to get my mind off the dream. You see, you'll keep your focus in the right place, and you'll run toward your dream. And I don't care if you're 20 or 120, you still have a dream. As long as you're here on earth, you still have a purpose. There's things that God wants you to do, and you can accomplish them and increase your rewards over on the other side. I don't know about you, that makes me happy. I'm so thrilled that God gave us a dream to fulfill. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now let me read that from the Message translation, because it puts just a little bit different slant on it. So if you're serious about living this new resurrected life in Christ, act like it. I like that. If you're serious about it, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. You see, if we're serious about living the resurrected life, some of us have to ask ourselves that time, am I serious about living for Christ? How is my confession of salvation lining up with my actions? Where am I at? The Apostle Paul at one point said, he said, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. We need to examine ourselves every once in a while. And the way we examine ourselves is, what's our actions look like? Could somebody watch us on a daily basis and have any idea that we are have our eyes set on things above and not on things of the earth? Would they be able to claim that we are a demonstration of somebody who knows that they're on their way to heaven? Examine ourselves, test ourselves, see if we are in the faith. Don't shuffle around, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of us. Look up, be alert to what's going on around us. Be alert. Okay, let's look at that a little bit. Be alert. Be alert of where you're at today. Be alert of the things that are happening around us. Be alert. Okay, let's be alert. How is the kingdom of God advancing? How much is it going to advance in our day? How much are we going to be able to do to advance the kingdom of God in our day? I'm praying and I'm believing that the things that I can do while I'm here right now are going to put some foundations down so greater things will be able to be done when I'm out of here. I'm believing God for that. I'm believing God for that right now. I mean, we have more to do. We have more to influence than just the generation that we are in. We are called to influence generations. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, generations to come. We are called to influence them. David, King David, prepared for this. There were some things that he couldn't do in his generation. He couldn't build the temple of God. There are some things I can't do in this generation. There's some things you can't do in just this generation. But you can prepare for those who are coming behind him to do what we can't do in this generation. Listen to what David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3. Moreover, David speaking, because I have set my affection on the house of God, I have given to the house of my God over and over above all that I have prepared for the holy house, out of my own special treasure of gold and silver. So David went about giving what he could in his generation, what was available to him, to prepare the next generation to do what he couldn't do. That's a man with vision. That's a man who has a vision of the call of God, a vision of life. He was able to see beyond himself, beyond his generation, and how he was going to influence the next generation. And you or I are called to, and I are called to that today. Now I know when you're younger, things are going good, you got your whole life ahead of you, and you're busy thinking about what can happen in your generation. And there's lots of good stuff that can happen in your generation that you have to be cognitive of, but there's more at stake here than just your generation. There's other things to look forward to. And I believe the sooner you start, the younger you start preparing for the next generation, the more influence you will be able to have in the generation coming after you. The more influence you'll be able to have. And I pray that your desire is that you might have influence. Psalms 91:14. Because he has set God really talking about his people. Because he has set his love upon me, the Lord says, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. In other words, the Lord is saying here, because he has loved me, I will set him securely on high. Remember I said we need to test ourselves? We need to test our love thermometer all the time. We have to make it check. Are we really devoted to the Lord? Do we really love him? Because too many of us, we will take that scripture and says, God is going to set me securely on high. Yeah, he said it's to set us securely on high if we first set our love upon him. He will set us someplace in a higher position. But before that, he's going to look to see if our love is set on him. He will set us securely on high because we have set our love upon him. There's a man side of things, there's a God side of things. And so we can't just willy-nilly claim that we're the head and not the tail if we think that we can do our desire and not his. But thank God, he said, if we have set our love upon him, he will set us securely on high. Passion for your dream is crucial. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. The Lord turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Now here was Peter. He was not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. He was not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. That's where the whole political correctness comes from. Anybody who demands political correctness is not mindful of the things of God. They're mindful of the things of men. Don't you say anything that would be politically correct to Robert. I'm concerned about his feelings. I'm concerned about man's feelings. You see, political correctness gets our minds on the things of man as opposed to the things of God. And here was Peter. He said, Lord, you can't go to the cross. You just can't do that. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Peter was speaking against the very reason that Jesus had come to earth for. He was speaking against the call of God on Jesus' life. And I want you to know, people, there'll be multitudes of people, the enemy will see to it, that they'll come around you and say, you can't do that. You know, who do you think you are to do that? You don't even have a right to say that. You're a bigot if you say that. You're a racist if you say this. You know, who are you to think that you can have a mind of your own and think something different? There'll be multitudes of people around you to try to get you sidetracked from the dream that God has given you. That's why we have the greater one living on the inside of us. You see, if you will step out and begin to work your dream, the anointing of God will come behind you. And the anointing of God will push your dream forward. And after a while, you'll look back and say, how did that happen? This person called me just at the right time. This individual came into my life just at the right time. This person said something, and when they said it, I simply seen the whole picture. How did all that happen? That's the anointing of God. But first, we must step out. God will not steer a ship at the dock. We must step out. If we'll put our might forward, if we'll step out and begin to try, God will turn our try into doing. He will protect us by the Spirit of God. I want us to show us another little clip this morning. And I want you to show what can happen. Just you can get the picture if you see this video about how God will anoint our efforts as we continue to try and never give up. Just go ahead and show that to you. There's a roar behind you if you'll step out and never give up and keep trying. There's a roar, there's a sound that'll come forward in order to carry you through if you'll never give up. If you'll step up and begin to do the works of God, there's a roar, there's the line of the tribe of Judah behind you in order to step up and do the things that God has called us to do. But if we refuse to step out and be counted for as a Christian, as a kingdom of God citizen, there's no roar that'll ever take place, and you'll basically be on your own. But if you're walking toward the things of God, you've got God's heart in mind, you're looking at things above and not on things of the earth, then there's a roar behind you that will come against the powers of darkness that tries to keep you silent, that tries to close you up, to try to make you irrelevant. But the Spirit of God will rise up on the inside of us if we will step out and begin to do what God has called us to do. Are you hearing me this morning? That we as a church can no longer just step back and just think that we're just going to make it through this life and make it over to the other side. God wants us to fill our mandate while we are here on earth. And God has given us the Holy Spirit for a purpose, people. Acts 1:8 says that the Holy Spirit has come to be a witness. He's come to give us power to be a witness. You know, the Holy Spirit is not here to get us a new car, a better house to live in. There's principles in the kingdom of God to do that will get us a better house, maybe, or a better car. So give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. That's a principle that we can live by. God said that you, if you pay your tithe, that he'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. But the Holy Spirit has been given that we might have power to witness. In the church, no. In the world. He's given us power to witness to the world, that changed the world. Go and make disciples of nations, he said. I pray this morning that there's something rising up on the inside of you that says, I want to do something more than what I have done up to this point in my life. There's some things that I want to do. I want to make a mark. Now, as Claude mentioned earlier, that in 2017, in January, we are starting a program here, History Makers Program, that is going to transform the church, I believe, and transform us. Because we're going to be trained to go out and how to make an influence in our society. But you have to make a decision today. Do I want to be an influencer? Do I want to make a difference? If not for my generation, for the next generation. Now you'll see in your bulletin there, there's a couple of website addresses that you can go to and watch a couple of, listen to. You can watch if you want, or listen to a couple of sermons on transformation about what can happen. I challenge you to go there and listen to those. There's one by Derek Snyder and another by a lady from Bulgaria who talks about the transformation that took place not only in her own life but in the communities around them when they went through and took this training and how it made such an influence on her and society itself. I challenge you to go there and listen to those messages. And I believe God will help you. He'll begin to stir something up on the inside of you that you'll say, I want to be changed. You see, we've had all kinds of things said about equipping the church. But most of the equipping the church, that training that I've ever seen was equip the church to work in the church. To work in the four walls of the church. Well, I believe the day has come that we have to come to a place where we're equipped to work out there. Not in the church, but outside. So people will see and believe and put their trust in the Lord. Just one example that I remember Pastor Derek Snyder giving was that he had a lady who was the head of one of his home groups. And she came to him and said, I want to quit being a leader of one of the home groups because I believe that God is calling me to go to work at Chapters. And he was pretty disappointed at the time. Thought, well, we need you working in here. And so anyway, he blessed her and said, go ahead, go to work at Chapters. And so she got in there, and the first thing you know, she became the manager of Chapters. And she had, I think it was 9 employees. And the next thing you know, she had a home group with 9 employees. She was teaching them. Many of them came to Christ. Started to have an influence on the outside rather than on the inside. Those people started influencing people. You see, we're not talking about bringing people only into church. We're talking about building influencers to go out there and influence the world. But if we're ever going to train influencers, we have to be influencers ourselves. Amen?